Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. Today is Wednesday, June 27th, 2012, and this is show number 59. All right, Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get to it. So first topic, or minor note, I suppose, is I was just going to say that it appears that the transition of Developing Perspective to its news host has been successful. There are a few little minor bumps along the way, but generally speaking, everything seems to be working. But if you run into any problems, please let me know. But I think I've pretty much got all the kinks worked out, and everything seems to be working, which is great. And just sort of a small plug for the tool that I'm using to do that, which is called Octopress. It's a static blogging system. It's not really designed to do podcasts, but the great thing about a system like it is it's basically just a collection of Ruby scripts with a little bit of templating. It uses the Liquid templating system on top of it. And basically, it's just a series of markdown files that you can sort of do anything you want in it. And so it's pretty easy to just sort of hack it together to generate a podcast. So right now, it even does this great stuff where, you know, I take my MP3 files as I record them. After I record them, I drop it in, sort of run a script, and it uploads it to S3. It sets up the new episode correctly and all this kind of stuff. And actually integrating it into the site was pretty straightforward, too. So that's just something that I just kind of recommend. If you're looking to do either just a regular blog and you're looking for a good platform for that, I run my main blog off of Octopress, and now I run Developing Perspective on it too, and in both cases it was super easy. It's definitely geared towards sort of a hacker, so if you're looking for something that's like totally pre-baked, maybe not perfect, but if you want the ease and convenience of a static site without without having to code that manually or anything, it's a great middle ground. So just something to figure I'd mention that. Number two, the Podcasts app that Apple shipped yesterday. So now Apple has their own official podcast app. I just sort of wanted to mention it here because obviously if you're listening to this, you're a fan of podcasts. And it's an interesting thing. I think it's interesting that Apple is releasing an app targeted at podcasts, especially because podcasts are kind of a funny thing for them in iTunes because, as best I can tell, it's the only area in iTunes where they distribute and manage a lot of content. I mean, they don't host the files themselves, but in terms of, they have this whole section where, as best I can tell, they don't make any money at all. It's not like a lot of the things in iTunes where they're making money on the back end or selling content. There may be some free stuff, like in the App Store, there's free and paid content. And I've heard some rumors about they may be bringing paid app podcast content, but that seems a little funny to me. I don't know. It just seems odd, just given sort of the nature of it that, I mean, I guess if they had this option where, people could, have paid subscriptions to Developing Perspective, maybe I'd consider it. I'm not really sure. But it seems kind of odd. But it's interesting that Apple is pushing all this, this time and energy into supporting things like podcasts where they don't really make any money. And, obviously they developed this whole new app just for that purpose. It seems kind of cool. The app itself is pretty interesting. I would say it's reasonably well done. It's very good for the basics, and I doubt I'll end up using it in as my main thing. It has a bunch of very odd limits, like you can only download a 50 meg file over 3G, which maybe other apps should enforce, but they've seemed to be able to get by review without doing that, and it means that there's every now and then you'll run into these really annoying things where a podcast is just over 50 megs and you won't be able to listen to it offline, even though you could download if it was 49 megs. So it seems there's all a bunch of these little arbitrary things, and the design of it is a little funny in the sense of like there's a tape player inside of it, which seems kind of funny. Just in terms of as a metaphor for podcasts, considering that I don't think podcasts have ever been distributed on cassette tape, just they were invented post that era. So I don't know, maybe they should be CDRs or something. But anyway, I mentioned it there. You can sign up for it. One thing that's kind of funny is if you click on the iTunes link on developingperspective.com, it'll open the podcast app, but it fails to actually subscribe. There's some bug in the application that I haven't been able to work out a workaround for. So just sort of putting that out there, if you want to subscribe, just go to the catalog and search Developing Perspective. It'll work great. All right, the next topic I was going to talk about quickly is the WWDC videos. They've been out for about a week now, but a couple of notes I just wanted to add, and a couple of things I've been talking about on sort of on Twitter and things with people, but I just wanted to mention it here. So first, definitely try and make time to watch any or all of them. It's always a little I always struggle with this myself, that I kind of be like, oh, I'm going to watch all these videos. Oh, they're so great. Let me get this one, this one, this one, this one. And it's really hard to actually motivate myself to actually watch them. And so here's a couple of the things that I do for myself to try and sort of motivate it. One is I use usually I listen in QuickTime 7 because it has a very easy playback speed control, though I recently discovered you can actually do this in QuickTime X or QuickTime 10, whatever it's supposed to be called, as well. But by allowing me to change the playback speed, so I usually listen at about 1 1¾ speed. It speeds it up and lets me get through content a lot more quickly. The nature of kind of what it is usually what I'm trying to do with a lot of WWDC videos is get a quick survey of a new technology and then have all these little nuggets that I can pull out and use. It's very rare that there's like a whole, or at least with the new technologies, and for example, in iOS 6, there's nothing that I'm like, okay, I need to understand this in and out. You know, it's more like I want to sit down and listen to the past book presentations to get a sense of that technology and to help me to be sort of more well-rounded. And so by speeding them up and just kind of blasting through them quickly, you kind of get a good flavor of it. And if I ever need to go back, I certainly can, but it's not as big of a deal. Another thing that I also try and do is, I don't know about you, but if you go through a normal day, you'll often kind of have these cycles of energy. You know, so say like the classic one is like about 2 o'clock. You know, you've had lunch, it's kind of settling in, you kind of get a little droopy. One thing that that's probably a good choice is to pop in on a WWDC video at that point, and you can kind of redeem that time in a productive way just by picking it up and like, okay, you know, I'll watch a video. If you listen at, you know, 1.5 or 2 times speed, it's maybe half an hour, 45 minutes to work through it, maybe even less, because a lot of them seem kind of edited down, which I think makes sense, you know, in terms of they're trimming them so that they're just the content that matches the presentation. There's none of the kind of other ad libs or pauses or some of those things. So Apple does a pretty good job of editing that down. And you just kind of work through them. And, you know, don't feel too guilty if you don't get to a lot of them, but they're just definitely good resources. One thing I always recommend is try and listen to every one of the What's New In, even if it's not necessarily something that you're directly, like What's New In the File System is always kind of an interesting one, or What's New In LLDB, What's New In LLVM. There's all these sort of What's New ones, and I find those to be the best kind of starting points, because often what they'll do is they'll give a very quick survey, and then they'll give you pointers if there's other technologies that you're interested in that you can then go and watch the full video on just that topic. So just kind of a little tip there. All right, so the main topic I'm going to talk about today is the Retina MacBook Pro. And specifically, this is the kind of I decided to buy one episode. And so two episodes ago, I talked about kind of the developer landscape and sort of, you know, the various options. You can go, you know, sort of MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, iMac, Mac Pro, and I kind of worked through it all. And at the end, I said kind of it's like, if you need to be very mobile, get a MacBook Air. Otherwise, a Retina MacBook Pro is a good, really good, solid choice. And at this point, sort of, I've decided to put my money where my mouth is. You know, I'm trying to buy one. At this point, it looks like I'll be getting it through my local business rep at an Apple store. It seems the quickest way to get a hold of one. But otherwise, you know, it's kind of, there's that old quote, and I've heard it attributed to Mark Twain, but you never really know with these kind of things, that, you know, a man buys something for two reasons, the good reason and then a real reason. And I have a couple of good reasons to buy a MacBook Pro, and then maybe a couple of real reasons as well to kind of balance that out. It's definitely something where, sort of on the good reason side, there's a value in trying to put yourself sort of where Apple is heading and being very comfortable and familiar with the technologies and approaches that Apple is sort of pushing and sort of directing the company towards. Now, that's not to say that, you know, sort of you necessarily have to, you know, spend a lot of money and get a lot of technology to do that, but I feel like there's something, you know, it's like having a really solid understanding of what a Retina screen on a Mac is and how that looks and how that feels is likely just sort of helpful as an Apple developer for being, it's almost like being well-rounded or being very comfortable with the technology, so that you can sort of understand where they're heading with other technologies or things that they're doing, and just kind of being well informed. And, you know, it's a little bit funny, but it's also sort of like, it's, you know, when a Retina iPad came out. I made sure I had one right away, even though I didn't really need it. You know, it's this part of being a developer is being really comfortable on the platform in all of its variations. And so that's kind of a part of a reason. Another reason, of course, is just that it's a ridiculously fast machine. And that is always good in terms of productivity, in terms of getting work done, especially with regards to disk I/O. It's a pretty nuts machine in that regard. And it just really seems to be really well put together. And so that's, you know, sort of certainly a plus and a sling in its, sort of in its favor. The SSDs are finally large enough to handle a full complement of data, which is kind of cool. Like, probably not if you get the base model with its, I think it's a 256 gigabyte SSD. But if you get either of the other two, the 512 or the 768 SSD options, it's a pretty... There's very few people who, unless they're doing a lot of probably video, for whom that would be too small of a drive to do everything on. And you don't have to, that means you don't have to play these funny games where you're, you know, doing sim links to your iTunes media library or these things. You know, it's having a half to three quarters of a terabyte of data storage is actually pretty good and will likely, you know, do you pretty well with that. And so that's kind of nice that you can kind of hit that point where you've got the great performance and it's all on one device, that it's kind of nice to... Right, for a long time, I've been booting off of an external SSD because my iMac is so hard to change the internal drive for, and you know all these kind of weird things. And it's like it's nice to just be able to move back towards one big drive that every now and then, you know, I can back up to a time machine and super duper it and all that. But I don't need external storage; I can be totally self-contained. And the display on the device is also high enough resolution that I think developing on it is pretty good. I've heard a lot of people who are used to developing on a 27-inch display that say, especially if you do the like more space option, that it's just as comfortable to work on, as any single user or any single desktop environment is to work in, which is kind of cool. And then another sort of good reason is in terms of Mac development. So I do some of this right now. I mean, I have applications like Insta Backup, I have Five Live, I have applications like that that are on the Mac App Store. And these are that actually pretty much all my apps are Retina enabled at this point, mostly because they're graphically fairly similar, simple. But it's also kind of as I'm looking to do some more Mac development in the coming months, and it's just one of those things of having a native machine that I can do that development on and test it and make sure my Retina graphics look great on seems just a wise decision. In the same way that I get. You know, I have a Retina and a non-Retina iPad, even though I could, you know, just use the simulator and look at the Retina graphics on my old, you know, and then run it on my old device to get a sense of it. It just seems wise and better to do that actually natively on the device. Then I guess you can kind of get into in the sort of the jokingly kind of like the real reasons. It's awesome. It's just sort of gorgeous and beautiful, and Apple does a great job of creating demand and desire for new technology. And, you know, I'm certainly not immune to that. And in some ways, I don't see that as a bad thing. That's part of what makes my money and my living is that Apple does that with their other technologies, too. You know, they do a great job of making my customers want to buy iPhones. And when they have an iPhone, they want to get apps on it. And that's what makes my living. And so that's awesome that Apple can do that. And it's kind of fun that, you know, it's like they still can do that in me as well. With, you look at this technology and you're like, wow, that's awesome. I want to have that. I want to play with that. I want to see what that's like in, you know, in reality and in practical use. And, you know, I think really why I'm getting it is a combination of all of those. I don't think it's necessarily just like, oh, it's cool. You know, it's a kind of an expensive thing to get just because it's cool. But I think a combination of all of the useful attributes of it, doing Mac development, and just kind of feeling like it's good to sort of be there is maybe just, you know, sort of push me over in terms of, okay, that's definitely what I'm going to do. Who knows? Maybe next year I'll end up sort of relegating it to the side when they come up with this new awesome, you know, the Super Mac Pro that's awesome and amazing. But, you know, later next year is a long time from now. And so in the meantime, I'm going to get one and probably make it my main machine. And I suspect I'll be pretty happy with it. All right, that's it for today's show. I hope that's interesting. As always, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you know, hit me up on Twitter. I'm _DavidSmith on Twitter. And it's definitely, I'll just sort of reiterate it again that I think some of the best shows I've done, and a lot of the feedback I've gotten, I've received, confirms this. The best shows are ones where people are asking questions about things that they're curious about, things that they're struggling with, and I kind of address them. So please, you know, send me questions, send me feedback if you have things to discuss, because I think you get the best shows that way. Otherwise, happy coding, have a good week, and I will talk to you later. Bye.